Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie. Back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Yeah.
Chris McMahon.
Sports Radio
125. McMonagle here on the Fan. 888-808-1019 taking your calls after a squeaker out in LA. Clippers take care of the Nets 126-67. 67. My goodness. The fewest points by an NBA team since 2016, the worst loss in Nets history, the best victory I suppose by the Clippers in their history as well. Just a historic night out in L.A. I mean, we'll get into the Knicks as well. I'm going to start with Pete, but that is... I know they're down guys in hell. They're probably better off losing the games. I get it. But 67 points. This game was tied 21-21 after the first quarter. That means for the last three quarters, they scored 14 points in the second, 16 points in the third, 16 points in the fourth. My goodness. That's a 60-point swing in three quarters of an NBA basketball game? I don't know if I've ever seen that one. That's one hell of a performance by the Brooklyn Nets. I wonder if Evan stayed up for that one. My God. We'll get to the Knicks and their overtime win and what the hell Karl Anthony Towns was wearing. But I got to get to Pete Alonso here. Because we spoke about it a lot yesterday, and today a couple things came out. Today's the talk of the town. I've been telling you this for a long time. I honestly believe, I'll continue to say it, David Stearns, I don't know how the rest of the organization feels. I don't know how the owner feels. And we'll see whether, you know, I agree that the owner shouldn't necessarily impose on what David Stearns wants. But there is no doubt in my mind, David Stearns would rather not sign Pete Alonso. Full, like, that's it. Full stop. I firmly believe that. I feel there's a number where they're comfortable, I suppose, at 3 for 90, and they aren't moving off it for nothing. They don't want any part of extending the slightest bit of courtesy towards Pete Alonso. They felt they did that with a couple of offers prior to free agency. He turned that down. Now there is a number that they are somewhat comfortable giving him. And that's it. David Stearns is probably even uncomfortable with that, but he felt like it's probably necessary to at least offer that kind of contract for a player who's been with the Mets for a long time, the face of the franchise, still hits 34 home runs on a bad season, and provides pop that they do need behind Juan Soto. But as you heard some of the reports earlier today, and the idea now that you're hearing, first off, it's very puzzling to me and furthers my argument that David Stearns wants no part of Pete Alonso and the idea that they haven't gotten any closer whatsoever after Pete Alonso came back to them and said, okay, I'll take a 3-year deal. We've been hearing the years of the issue. I'll come back and take a 3-year deal. And there hasn't been an ounce of moving towards a middle ground. There hasn't been an ounce of trying to figure this out. There has been nothing as far as compromise from either side after Pete came back and compromised and was willing to take a 3-year deal. And now you're hearing John Heyman report after earlier in the day hearing connections that the Mets have put out feelers for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And I've told you part of this, and I've been saying this for weeks too, part of all of this is the idea that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is sitting out there. There are reports that him and the Toronto Blue Jays are far from a contract extension, hundreds of millions of dollars apart. The fact is that Toronto has not offered a number that starts with 4, is the latest report, and he will get that in free agency. If he puts forth another year this year, anywhere close to what he did last year and hits the free agent market at 27 years old, he is going to get a number that starts with at least 4, maybe 5 after Juan Soto last year. After Juan Soto's contract, Vladimir Guerrero might get $500 million. And David Stearns, who comes from Milwaukee, who comes from the mid-market, where free agents like Juan Soto, free agents like Vladimir Guerrero, they don't exist in his world. He doesn't even contemplate going out and signing those kind of guys. So now that he's with Steve Cohen, and he has an owner who has not only the ability, but the desire to sign the premier free agents, go above and beyond to get the 26, 27-year-old stud, to go out and make sure that that number starts with a 4 or a 5, to go get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. When the superstars at the right age hit free agency, he has an owner who not only will be involved in the discussion, but treat it as something he won't be denied on. When you have that kind of owner and you know that, those are the free agents you play for. And so you don't want to offer a long-term deal to a Pete Alonso and block up first base, although they do have options at DH now. But you don't want that contract. Why do that when I have Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? And that's why I don't believe the report that they're interested in trading for Vladimir Guerrero. That might just be posturing to get Pete to make a move, and we find out later that that's probably it, considering according to John Heyman, the Mets have given Pete Alonso an ultimatum. This is hilarious to me. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't believe that they're trying to make a trade for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. You know why? Because they can pay him in the offseason. And there is no way, and I've said this too, there is no way Vladimir Guerrero Jr., a superstar, never again will we see a superstar of this level, a Manny Machado, a Bryce Harper, a Juan Soto, a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. We'll see whether it's Bobby Witt Jr. I know he signed a long-term deal. But whenever these enormous superstar free agents hit and they're below 30, we will never, after that Juan Soto contract, they will never see a contract extension ever again if they get this close. You might see it early on, like I just said, Bobby Witt Jr. did one, Fernando Tatis did one. If they're going to eat up 3, 4, 5 years of arbitration, then you might see the long-term deal. But when you get this close to free agency, when you're a year away from free agency, when Steve Cohen is sitting there, and for someone like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who plays first base, and there is currently no one signed to play first base for the New York Mets, there is no way in hell he is signing a long-term contract, whether it be Toronto, whether it be the Los Angeles Dodgers, whoever it be. They ain't going to do it knowing Steve Cohen is available and willing to spend this kind of money. And that's why I don't believe in any trade rumors, because why would you trade even for 1 year? Even for this year, and now I understand you want to be big brother, heavy lies the crown. You got to win a championship. Every year is championship or bust. I understand that, and this year is part of that now. But why would you give up draft capital? I'm thinking friggin' too much about ugly football teams. Why would you give up prospects that you've acquired over the last couple of years? Certainly 2 years ago that you bit the bullet and traded away future Hall of Fame starting pitching and paid all that money to acquire these drafts. Why would you do that a year away from being able to get them just for money? And that's nothing for the owner. So while I don't believe they're trading for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I do believe the interest is obviously there. I do believe it has a lot to do with signing Pete Alonso. I do believe it has a lot to do with the two stories that came out yesterday. Or the three stories. One, nowhere near coming close, still far, far apart. Then you get the idea of suddenly they're open to trade or have checked in with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and the Blue Jays on a possible trade. And then John Heyman reports that the Mets have now told Pete Alonso, who came back to them in good faith and offered them a 3-year deal with an opt-out after one or two with opt-outs in the deal. He comes to them after weeks of speculation that they're not interested in a long-term deal. He comes back to them after weeks of talking about, hey, Pete needs to understand that he needs to be a Met. Pete needs to understand the value of playing in one uniform. Pete needs to understand. Pete needs to understand. All right, I understand. Pete comes back and offers them a 3-year deal. And they won't budge off their number. And now they're telling Pete, hey, you better let us know quick if you're going to take our offer you don't like, because we got to pivot. The Mets don't want him. Plain and simple, the Mets don't want him. And it's getting to the point where if I'm Pete, I'd love to be a Met, right? Pete clearly wants to be a Met. Pete clearly agrees with the Tiki Barbers of the world, with the, you know, pretty much everybody, with David Wright, with Daryl Strawberry, with everyone else who thinks there's value in playing in one on one team. And he's about to see this thing come to fruition after struggling with this franchise since 2019. And now they were just in the NLCS. They've added Juan Soto. They've got the young David Stearns. They got the young manager. Things are good. They just took over the town, right? I mean, this is about to be the best era of Mets baseball in forever, since the mid-80s. And he wants to be a part of it. But he also believes in his value and believes what he's done for this team. And I'm sorry, if you were Pete Alonso, if you were a guy who's hit 50 home runs for this team, if you were a guy who's been the face of the franchise for years, if you're a guy who's been an all-star and a home run derby champion, and you know someone who just hit the biggest home run of the most successful year they've had in forever. If you're the guy who started LFGM, I always get that wrong. LFGM. If you're the guy who's the polar bear, if you're the guy who's ripping off shirts after the walk-off wins, if you're the guy who's been the fans' guy for years, and they offer you a 3-for-90, you don't love it, but you come back and say, all right, I'll do the 3 years, but let's work on the number, and they got nothing for you. And then in one day you hear, oh, we'll go trade for a better first baseman. And by the way, let us know quick because we got to make a decision. Let us know if you're going to take the money we won't move off on. Let us know if you're going to take the deal we won't budge on. Let us know if you're going to take the deal that we won't negotiate with you on. If I'm Pete Alonso, I'm praying someone. And again, we'll see what the numbers have to be. He's offering just the Mets, right? That's the rumor. Just the Mets are getting this 3-year deal. He's not willing to take a 3-year deal for anybody else. He's still looking for the 5-, 6-, 7-year contract from the Giants, from the Angels, from whomever. And I understand that there is a market that is not there for Pete right now, as well as Bregman, as well as Santander, as well as many other guys who are still in free agency and the market isn't there just yet for them, right? It's just yet. It's January 15th. So I understand the Mets have all the leverage. There's no doubt the Mets have all the leverage. But at some point, like, we could talk that it's best to be in a Met uniform. And, you know, I remember listening to Evan and talking about if bitterness is the reason, if bitterness is why you choose to go play for another organization, you're going to regret it the rest of your life. Bitterness, like, there's one thing to be stuck on a contract. It's another to come and try and negotiate with them, and they want nothing to do with it. And they're playing, they are showing him zero good faith in this negotiation. They are playing as, what was the quote from Hold the Line? They're holding the line. Hold the line. Ba-na-na-na. Pete isn't worth another dime. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, that's the Mets song today. So, like, I understand that Pete doesn't have a market as of just yet, but it's clear to me. The Mets might be willing to take him at the number if they get him for it. I think that probably alone is part of the owner's willingness to do something, the team, the organization's willingness to bring back this guy, and the understanding and the promise that at $30 million for three with opt-outs, that maybe they could still go get, I would think they still could go get, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. next year in free agency. You move Pete to DH, you play Vlad, it costs you, it's a year or two of Pete at DH, and then you move on, or more likely even, if it's an opt-out after one, it's a one-year contract for Pete Alonso, who might be willing, we talked about this yesterday, where if he opts out, he could get into the market again off of a positive year, maybe a winning year for the Mets, another good postseason for him, even at a year older, if he puts up a good season a year older, but no picks associated with him because you can't have the qualifying offer attached to you twice. Maybe he finds his market then, or at least believes there'll be a market for him then. But, I mean, if you just look at everything, they offer him 3 for $90. He doesn't like it. He comes back with a 3-year offer. They don't move off that contract for anything. They show him no good faith. They're not willing to give him anything extra for being Pete Alonso, while the fan base is out there clamoring that Pete should show faith, that Pete should be the guy to come back. And when he does, the Mets have nothing for him. They're holding firm to the line, and now they're out there and putting out rumors that they're looking to trade for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And Pete's just supposed to swallow all of this as the guy who's been the face of the franchise for years, and then just eventually take their number. Oh, and please, Pete, can you do it quick? Because we want to know if we don't have you. Every day, this is getting closer to Pete Alonso not being a Met. Every day. And if I'm Pete, I'm getting to the point where I don't care about the value of being in one uniform, because they clearly don't value him. They value him on a number. That's it. They're being cold-blooded about it, well within their rights. I know many of you are going to call me up and tell you that's how billionaires think and that's how good businesses operate. And sure, I heard Evan today, he doesn't want his owner meddling. I'm not saying that Steve Cohen should kick in the door and say, hey, enough, Stearns, give him whatever he wants. But on some level, this is the same owner who gave you statues. He's the same owner who brought back the uniforms you love. He's the same owner who gave you Old Timers Day. Bringing Pete back not only helps the fans, it helps you this year win a championship. It helps you compete this season. It gives you the pop, although not the perfect kind of player, but the pop and scary bat that you could use to protect Juan Soto. So I understand not wanting him. I understand preferring Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I've said it before. I think it's a perfectly reasonable take from the organization. And David Stearns to say, hey, look, I have the richest owner in baseball. I'll tell him Vladimir Guerrero is a guy we can't miss on. He's willing to go pay the exorbitant numbers. He's willing to put that 4, that 5 at the beginning of the number that maybe the Toronto Blue Jays or someone else won't be willing to give. I don't need Pete Alonso. So here, Pete, here's what we think you're worth. If you don't want it, don't take it. But please tell us quickly. I don't know. If I'm Pete Alonso, I'm pretty pissed off right now. And if I'm Pete Alonso, I'm maybe not seeing the organization in the same light I did at the end of the year. And while there's no market just yet, we've seen that change rapidly. And once the Mets are out, and if the Mets are putting a deadline on it, maybe you see other teams get involved. Maybe you see other teams who just feel like it's a fait accompli and a thing that's bound to happen. So why bother offering Pete Alonso a big contract? He's clearly willing to take less to go be a Met. He's clearly wanting to be a Met. You know, why am I going to, you know, offer some money that he'll just take back to Steve Cohen and I'll lose out on? But maybe if there is some sort of indication that it's not going to happen with the Mets, you could see the market come back to him a little bit. Or you could see teams right now sensing a little blood in the water, offering something to Pete close to what he's getting now. And you know what? Why not take it? Why does Pete have to be the big guy and do the right thing? But it's funny to me what happened today, because everything that happened today, all the different stories, and again, they're just stories, it's just reporting. We don't know exactly what's going on, but I've been saying it for a while, and when you hear holding the line, when you hear, oh, they're checking in on Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and you hear, oh, you better tell us pretty quickly because we need to pivot. Does that sound like an organization that wants to make a deal happen? 888-808-1019. So let's talk with you about Pete Alonso, the situation with the New York Mets, and how they view this and how Pete should start to view it. Because in my estimation, David Stearns doesn't want him. The owner has told him to at least be willing to offer this. And now Pete has to make a decision on whether he wants to be somewhere that is showing indications that they don't want him. Because it's one thing to say, oh, I want to be in a Met uniform, I want to do this. And then maybe, you know, listen, you sign the contract and a year from now, no one cares that the negotiations went like this. And no one cares. What's the difference? You're beloved by your teammates. I don't know if that's even true. But hey, you're winning. The city loves you. You're hitting home runs. You're in a Met uniform. It's what everything you wanted. And you forget that David Stearns didn't give a crap about giving you anything and working towards any sort of negotiation. Just gave you a hard line and you took it. And so now, within a year, that's all gone. Within 6 months, that's gone. They're in first place at the All-Star break, and who gives a damn what happened in January? Maybe that's the case. But if I were Pete Alonso, and I came back and said, okay, I'll take the 3 years, but work with me a little bit. And I got, no, here's the offer. Take it or leave it, and please be quick about it. I tell him to go stuff it.
Talk about your Jets on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 1:52. A little bit before 2 o'clock. McMonagle here with you on The Fan following the worst loss in Nets at 67 points. My goodness. Well, let's get right to your calls. We opened it up with Pete Alonso, a subject that I find fascinating. I have to admit, I find the Pete Alonso subject fascinating and what's gone on here. And it's getting to the point now where it's just clear to everyone, including Pete, the Mets don't want him. If they wanted him, they'd budge a little bit. I mean, there's no movement on it. And it's getting to the point where if I'm Pete, as much as I want to be a Met, do I want to be a Met if they don't want me? Holding the line. Hold the line. See what happens. 888-808-1019. Joe in the Bronx. What's up, Joe?
Hey, C-Mac. Great show as always, man.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
C-Mac, I am an Alonso fan. And, I mean, where are you going to get a guy with, 40 and 100 every year pretty much, even on a down year? It was a pretty good year. Is there something, C-Mac, that you think that they know about him, maybe in a clubhouse wise? I don't understand this whole thing.
I agree. I don't understand it either that much. Look, here's the thing, right? I don't know necessarily that there could be something there that prior to this year, and maybe even, I shouldn't even say that, prior to the meeting and the turnaround, there has felt like there's been some issues inside the room, right? There has been, whether it's the Lindor and McNeil thing or whatever the case may be. There's a feeling that something was wrong inside the clubhouse. Then they became the greatest clubhouse in the history of clubhouses with OMG. And by the way, still nothing on Iglesias either. But I don't know if that's the case. Here's the thing, though. As much as I'm screaming about it, to play devil's advocate for a second, 3 for 30, although it's 3 years and short term, $30 million would make him the highest paid first baseman in Major League Baseball. So it's not like an insulting offer necessarily, although, for Pete Alonso, the Met, you just said that as much as power has, been up a little bit, it's the idea of someone who hits 30 to 35 to 40 home runs a year, drives in 100 a year with his eyes closed on a bad year. Yeah, he's on base, his batting average have gone down, but the power numbers are still there. He was great in the postseason, and he's your guy, and you're the richest owner in baseball now. So the idea that he wanted the longer-term deal, you come back with 3 for 90, And he's like, okay, I'll do the three, but let's up the money a little bit because I'm showing good faith and taking less years. And they haven't been willing to move an ounce. So I don't know. I'm sure they don't view it as an insult because they're literally coming with an offer that makes them the highest paid first baseman annually in Major League Baseball. And that's probably how they're viewing it. And that's what they're telling him. But I just don't like what. If it's either a guy you want or you don't want, and they're willing to do a lot for guys they want. And this is a guy who's done it. Now, again, they're being cold-blooded. They're monitoring the market. They're doing what they think makes sense for the Mets. And ultimately, maybe he'll take the 3 for $90, and this all works out great, and everybody, you know, he could sell it as, yeah, listen, it was a tough negotiation, but ultimately I am the highest-paid first baseman. And, you know, he won't say that, but you know what I'm saying. Like, he could show some sort of face by taking this deal, and the Mets are, you know, smart and brilliant, as well as rich. And David Stearns does it again. He played hardball, recognized the market, and Pete Alonso took the deal. And maybe that's how it all works out. But for me, if I'm Pete, they're not willing to work with me at all? Like, I understand I turned down a 7-year contract. I had 34 home runs and the biggest home run of the year. Now you can't give me half of that? Like, I come back with 3 years and maybe up the money a little bit from your offer, and it falls completely on deaf ears. And now I got to hear you're out there, you know, talking to Toronto about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. It's getting clear that, in my estimation, David Stearns would rather not have him be here. Pete's going to understand that. And at what point does Pete say, oh, forget this, and now he's getting a deadline? Now, it's not a negotiation. I mean, listen, again, it's a report from John Heyman. Doesn't make it 100% facts. I think there's obviously, I don't think John Heyman's lying necessarily, but maybe it's not as clear cut, or, you know, maybe an ultimatum hasn't been given, but it sounds like there's no negotiating here. It sounds like the Mets are at 3 for $90, and Pete, do you want to take it or not? And please let us know. So it's not even a negotiation anymore. Pete has a week to decide whether he wants to take their offer or not. They're not going to move. That's it. They're 3 for $90 unless someone else offers them more. Until then, let's make a decision, Pete. And if I'm Alonso, I'm certainly considering telling him to stuff it. And I'll deal with what I can get. Because I still think there's a market for someone who hits 40 home runs a year. I do. It might not be prevalent at the moment. It might not be what we all would hope. But the idea that nobody would want him, I'd take my chances if I'm Pete Alonso.